Good morning, New Life family. So good to see everyone this morning. Daddy really loves you. Amen. And as a group, if we just gathered all the ones that have went into covenant with him, amen, together, there you have the city of God, the bride of Christ. And he loves his bride. Wow. And he wants to talk to us today corporately about his value of you and why he is so after you. Amen. And he puts up with some stuff with his bride, don't he? Amen. I hadn't met anybody that doesn't want to be blessed. And so that you don't get this construed today, his long-suffering and his mercy and his grace that's at work in our lives is a blessing. But that's not the blessing he wants you to have. That's huge. He is long-suffering and merciful to us because we're hard-headed. He wants to put us on display. Would y'all agree? That's what our husband wants to do. And he's doing it. I'm not saying he's not. I'm just talking to you today because you happen to be at this location on the earth, and the Spirit of God drew you here because I'm supposed to be transparent to you about where he's at in my life. And I have good news, amen, but I also get to be honest to you about what he's got to work with. Amen. Oh, me. And so today, a good question that would be valid to ask you is, do you put more value in your will or God's will? Don't answer that too quick. Be careful now. And I'm just going to challenge you quickly so we can get right off into the meat of what Daddy wants to say to us today. I understand my will. I can talk about it because I get it. But his will, I don't understand a thing he's saying when he talks to me. As the bride of Christ, let's all agree that we need our husband. Eve was deceived, but Adam wasn't deceived. That's a valid conversation, isn't it? The church, as we have learned, if you pay attention, is the womb for the seed of truth. And you shall know the truth, and it shall make you free. Amen. I need, come on, as the bride of Christ, we need him to seed us with truth so that we can tend to that seed as we're designed to. We don't understand the word he's saying, but we're in covenant with him, and he covers us. We can't cover ourselves. We don't do well with that. We're vulnerable when we're trying to be in charge. Anybody ever try to be in charge? I'm talking to you about the guy in the mirror. When I'm trying to be in charge because I like my will, I understand my will, I can explain my will, I can have a conversation with him about my will, it's just not his will. Now, everything in my will is, from my lens, equals good. It's just not God. Matter of fact, I'll get wore out trying to keep up with my will because it's good. And I'm doing it for God, I think. But when he's in the mix, I get rest, I get peace, I get joy. When he's not in the mix, I get frustrated. I get full of anxiety. I get wore out. And I get tired of doing good. The reason is because it's not God. And so I might put more value in my will than His will, which makes my will a religious will and not a God will. Now, I know you're thinking, Pastor, how in the world are you pastoring a church and you got all them issues? Come talk to Tammy. She'll explain it to you. Flesh is hostile. That's in the book called the Bible, by the way. And it's so hostile and so manipulative that it'll convince you that everything's good. But you're not living in the area of blessing that God purposed for you. You're taking advantage of long-suffering and God's mercy and grace to put up with hard-headedness. But I want to encourage you today, if, you know, we've been talking about our marriage for quite some, because Shireen got up here and asked the question, how did we get here? And our culture is so influenced the relationships in the church. The culture is in the church, and we've got to do something about getting it cleaned out. I'm going to read you a few verses today, for real. I'm going to do it. And you're going to see how God is wooing us, amen, into a relationship with Him. And our part of that is so valid. And we've got to make a decision to cast down every thought and every imagination that exalts itself above God. Take vengeance on our disobedience so that our obedience can be fulfilled as the bride of Christ, as sons and daughters in covenant with Him, in marriage covenant. It's important that we catch this today. My will versus God's will. Amen. And I feel good about reading these scriptures here. God desires that we address all the thoughts that hinder our focus on Him. Amen. He has been calling and He's been reaching for us every day, every moment of every second of every day. He won't stop. He is that in love with you. All right, love story. Song of Solomon. Amen. It says it this way in chapter 2, verse 10. The one I love calls to me. Arise, my dearest. Hurry, my darling. Come away with me. I have come as you have asked. Now, I want to pause for a minute and just challenge everybody. You might want to reconsider what asking, seeking, and knocking really is. Because if I'm asking and seeking and knocking for things that fulfill my pleasure, my desire, what I want, I might want to consider maybe reevaluating what I've been asking, seeking, and knocking for. Our world is drunk on pleasure. And it's not the pleasure that fulfills. God wants to give you the pleasure that fulfills. He wants to, when you lay down at night, you wore yourself out trying to have fun and do it your way, and you can't sleep, you're turning and tossing, and you're hanging on to the commode when the next morning. All kinds of things that we do to try to fulfill this flesh that's hostile. It's totally anti-Him. He says, I have come as you have asked to draw you to my heart and lead you out. For now is the time, my beautiful one. Whew, boy, Jesus knows how to write some love stories, don't he? He can write a note. Verse 13. Can you not discern this new day of destiny breaking forth around you? The early signs of my purpose and plans are bursting forth. He has a plan and a purpose for every one of us. The budding vines of new life are now blooming everywhere. The fragrances of the flowers whispers. There is a change in the air. Arise, my love, my beautiful companion, and run with me to the higher place. For now is the time to arise and come away with me. Whew. Y'all feeling that? It's from one glory to the next. As the bride of Christ, it's from one glory to the next glory. As by the Spirit, he's a lover. He is a love. Matter of fact, if you really rehearse what he did for us 2,000 years ago and how he purchased us out of slavery, he demonstrates he's a lover. Now is the appointed time, is what he said. Now is the day of salvation. So ask, seek, and knock. Verse 15, this is where we want to get to, because the guy in the mirror that I deal with, he's asking me to deal with some things in his appeal to me to be his lover, amen, or to be his devoted son as a member of the body of Christ. You must catch the troubling foxes, those sly little foxes that hinder our relationship. Pause for a minute. Some of you that's been in church quite some time, you've always heard, you know, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. That's the passage I'm reading from, and I'm reading it out of a different version so you can catch what the meat of it is. You must catch the little troubling foxes, those sly little foxes that hinder my relationship, for they raid our budding vineyard of love to ruin what I have planted within you. Come on, that's the seed of truth. What freeing truth am I missing today that he's asking me to posture myself and receive? Remember? The bride prepares and adorns herself for him and him only. Will you catch them and remove them from me? Will you cast down every thought that exalts itself above what I'm speaking? We will do it together. And so God, in his way of planning for you and I, he set it up for us to be successful and taking dominion over the world, the things of the world, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's all that's in the world. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're wondering why you're having challenges today, amen, there's three fiery darts that the enemy always is throwing at every one of us. And it's the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. It feeds flesh, which is hostile. It feeds the idea that I deserve me time, that I need to be recognized, and I deserve to have it my way. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And so I encourage you today. The Lord says, we can do this together. And so he put together a plan where he and God, in God comes and he robes himself in flesh. God steps into a body, and he manifests in this world as a son, God, and shows us how to be his son. Not only does he reveal to us how we could walk and be like him, he goes to a cross, and every drop of blood that's in that body that God wore is shed for us. And he didn't deserve the death he died. We deserved it. And yet he demonstrates his love and says, okay, I'm setting it up to where me and you, we can get this done. We can put the enemy under our feet. And he comes out of a grave. And 50 days later, on the day of Pentecost, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And there appeared cloven tongues of fire that set up on it, not just some, but all of them. And they were all filled. They didn't just feel God, they got filled with God. And they began saying what they heard him say. And they began doing what they saw him doing as his spirit empowered them. Anybody need spirit empowerment today? If you're going to have dominion over your will, you're going to need God's will to break it down. And the way God breaks it down is by you having faith in him and trusting him. The only way that you can please God, anybody want to please God, is to walk by faith. How many is trying to walk by faith, but you're not doing a good job? All right. Thank you for being honest. With God, I can do this. Without him, I can't. We got to catch that one. Not because you feel God, but because you're filled with God that you can do it. To the guests here today, I know everybody in this room feels God. But before you leave, he wants you to be filled with God so that you can walk in the power of his might. You can be under his cover. You can be his bride. You can be the one that he protects, because he wants you to be with him all the time, every day, every second, every moment. He wants his bride with him. That's who he is. He forewent all of his creation and chose you and me to be the apple of his eye, the object of his affection. He thinks about you and me all the time. The heavenly host, they're doing this. And they're looking into this God feeling humanity, because God didn't feel them. All the angels, they feel him, and they're around him, and they see the wow about him. But they don't get to enjoy the Holy Spirit like we do. And yet, we will push back on it. And the question was asked, how did we get here to where our opinions and our preferences mattered at all? When I questioned God, y'all got to hear this, it's the most arrogant thing that I can do is to question God like he should be questioned. Who put that idea in my mind to question God? And how did I get so full of pride that I would actually arrogantly question him? And the guy in the mirror has done it. Thank God for long suffering. Thank God for the grace of God and the mercy of God to put up with this thing called flesh in my life, because my will is full of religious lies. My will has a Bible study backing up everything it says. And it's not God. My will take the book called the Bible and kill everybody in the path, because I think I can know good versus evil. And he keeps telling me, will you stop eating from that tree? Does anybody do that? You think you got politics figured out? You think you got good and evil? And the enemy will convince you, oh, yeah, you do. And he hides behind your mask, the person in the mirror. And he destroys people because he makes himself judge. Have you ever been like, I can't believe I did that before? And that's what the scripture means when it says, thou art inexcusable, O wretched man that you are. What's a wretched man? One that judges and does the same thing. Insanity. And yet we'll go to church and we'll put up with disunity in our marriage covenant. Well, Pastor, why are you raising your hand? I'm a guy and she's a girl. I don't understand her. She don't understand me. That's on purpose. From heaven. That's a freeing truth. Everybody should have caught that just then. Your marriage covenant is a telltale sign of where you are with him. If there's tension and disunity, it's a telltale sign that he's inviting us up. I just read you the Song of Solomon. I just read you where God is showing us how passionate he is about his bride. It's time to come up. We'll get satisfied with our dear church and religion, and we won't go any higher. And right there is where we miss it. We miss the boat, and God's calling us up higher. It's from one glory that we're changed into his image by his Spirit. Anybody want to be like Jesus? It's a journey. You ain't ever going to understand what he's saying until he decides for you to have understanding. And when you reach an understanding of him on what he's speaking, he's automatically covering you, calling you up higher so you can walk by faith some more. And faith is what pleases God. Anybody been pleasing God lately? Well, I think I have. Well, you got to double check your will versus his will, because you might be serving the person in the mirror, which behind that mask is called the devil. Self-worship is Satan worship. Amen. And if you still think you deserve anything, it's called Satan worship. If you think you're entitled, Satan worship. Our United States of America, I love my nation, but there's a lot of untruths in what it promotes. We're very dependent on God. Oh, we're going to have a bad day. This independent idea, yeah, it's unique that you are an individual. But you deserve rights? We don't have any rights, y'all. But I think I deserve justice. Anybody deserve justice? I think Jesus deserves justice. And as long as you're pursuing justice, you're pursuing the wrong God. He deserved justice, and justice right now is me broken and contrite and humble before his mighty hand, saying, Lord, I'm leading a repentant life. I need you, Jesus. Every moment of every second of every day, I don't need the United States of America to cover me. I need Jesus to cover me. I don't need the government to save me. I need Jesus to save me. I don't need the government to provide anything to me. I need him to provide everything I need. The flesh is hostile. It'll sucker you, and it'll let you be okay with the fact that you can feel God and not be filled with God. And saying on what you hear him say, and doing what you only see him do. Amen. It says it this way in Ephesians 4:27. Don't give the slanderous accuser, the devil, any opportunity to manipulate you. We're dealing with those foxes, right? Thoughts and ideas and opinions and preferences. Verse 30, the Holy Spirit of God has sealed you in Jesus Christ until you experience your full salvation. You haven't arrived yet, ladies and gentlemen. I was born again in 1974. I'm an old dude now. But I just started the race in 1974. The question I have to answer every day is, am I letting anything hinder me in the race? We're going up. It's time to come up, he said. It's time to come up. He's talking to his lover. So never grieve the Spirit of God or take for granted his holy influence in your life. In other words, don't grieve the Spirit. When he speaks, say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I don't know what you said just then, but yeah. I don't understand what you're doing, but yeah. Don't grieve the Spirit. Don't try to question and try to figure him out. When he pulls on you, yeah. When he's wanting to kiss on you, yeah. When he's wanting to love on you, yeah. Be ready, prepared, adorned just for him and him only. All the time. All day long. Every day of the week, 365 days a year. He wants to be with his bride. He loves her. We ain't got time to entertain any other voices. How did we get here? What did Paul say? He was kind of emphatic. He said, I espoused you to one husband as a pure bride. But I fear, as the serpent beguiled Eve, as the serpent beguiled Eve, as the serpent beguiled Eve. He said, I fear that you're going to be beguiled because you happily listen to anything anyone says. You know why? You know my will loves that? Because I understand what they're saying, because I got the same problem. And we can talk about our problem. And if I get to agreeing with them, we go to the same church. Y'all catching this? And it ain't Daddy's church. There's only one church, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. And at this place here, we're letting him move us into true identity so that he can have access to his church, his bride. I like talking to people that, I'm talking about my carnal man. I'm not talking about my sonship, the one that fills me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. I'm talking about when I happily listen to what other people are saying, and they got a scripture to back it up. They got a Bible study that supports it. Y'all got to catch this, but it doesn't feed my spirit. It doesn't promote the groom, the husband. But it promotes me as being smart and intelligent. I know something. All of us know something. All of us in this room know something. It's just nothing without God. Are y'all catching this? All of us can count and add and figure things out. But the equation's wrong in God's lens because it equals more than what we've come up with. But I will fight tooth and toenail, amen, that I'm right. Who really deserves the glory, ladies and gentlemen? Let me say it this way. If I do something good from Dwayne Lowe, and you come up and pat me on the back and say, that was a good job. I just got my reward. Y'all got a track with this one. If I put my name on anything that equals good and you come and say, my name is attached to that, I just got my reward. But if you know Jesus did it and I just happen to be with him when he did it, now he's glorified. Now we know where the source is. Now we know the one that's in charge. The question is, can I let go to that? Did God tell me something and I need to advertise it? like I know something special. Some will come up to me weekly and say, man, that was a good message. Okay, who'd you hear preach that message? Because if they say Dwayne Lowe, I mean, I didn't do a good job. But if they could hear Daddy talking, I let go. And I let him speak. And we know Daddy met with us. And we was all enjoying Daddy together. I just happened to be one of the members of the body that's enhancing the utterance of his word and validating and confirming to you what you're already hearing. Anybody hearing God speak? I should be confirming to everyone in this room what you're hearing if you're really prepared and adorned for your husband. If you're sons and daughters, amen, you're really zoned in to your father being the source. Hallelujah. I just got a few more minutes, and I got one or two scriptures I need to read. Ouch. Amen. And so the challenge here, ladies and gentlemen, is us finding out if we're more interested in our will versus his will. In Daniel chapter 11, he prophesies how the adversary, the devil, takes over God's temple, pollutes our thoughts, and for the purpose of us ceasing our devotion to God. This is what it reads here, Daniel 11, 31. He, speaking of the devil, will flatter and win over those who violate the covenant. What covenant are we talking about? The marriage covenant between God and his church. Jesus and his bride. Catching that? This is what the enemy does. If there's tension, y'all, in your marriage relationship, and Tammy and I can both encourage everybody because we've had several times where there was tension and disunity. Not because we want it, because neither one of us want that. But that's telling us something about the opening that the enemy now has to flatter us and win us over to his lies. That's how the enemy does it. And he said this, but the people, speaking of the church, who know their God, they're intimate with their God, will be strong and will resist him. Wise leaders will give instruction to many. And that's how you and I, in leading those that God has put in our path as the mother, we nurse them. We take care of God's heritage. The enemy wants there to be tension between you and your spouse so that he can come in and flatter you and win you over. See there? They don't love you. They don't care about you. They're making it all about them. Does the devil do that to you? Look, Tammy's made me mad a few times. And I did not want to serve her when she was making me mad. And I tell Daddy, can I tell on her right now, Lord? No, you can't tell on her. You can love my daughter because I need you to love me. As my daughter, now you love me and you do what I say, regardless of how mad she makes you. Is that right, honey? And I can make her mad too. Because she don't understand. When I say God's talking to me about something, she gets tired of that. And I don't want to ever tell her God tells me anything. But he's saying, if you love me, I picked you for her and I picked her for you on purpose. So y'all could die to yourself and present yourself as a sacrifice for my will to be done. And the only way I can get y'all to get broken enough is to be uniquely different enough. And all the tension that me and Tammy's had in our marriage has been nothing more than the mercy of God showing us how we treat him. Oh, yeah. us wanting to be in charge. I'm going to read you another one, and then I'm going to bring it down because I'm being long-winded right now. This is what married couples need to really understand. Malachi 3:16. I'm reading out of the Old Testament. Isn't that amazing? But it's prophetic utterance of where we are today. Then those, talking about all the believers, the married couples, who fear the Lord spoke with each other, and the Lord listened to what they said. Pause for a minute. When we do this, when we group, when we go to house grouping, when the married couples decide to stop for a moment and address the problem and talk together, the Lord's saying this, I listen to what they say. And in my presence, a scroll of remembrance is written to record the names of those who fear me and always think about and honor my name. Amen. Just an illustration here. When that girl married this guy in covenant with Jesus, in a carnal sense, we got a marriage certificate. She took my name. And she proved it. Because right after we got married, she went to signing checks. Oh, and we're laughing, but the Lord wants you to do that. He says, you've got all the resources of my kingdom at your disposal, and you won't take advantage of it. Because you're not in unity with me. The way you sign a check in the spirit with him is in unity. It's like his hand's on the pen with you. We're in agreement. And where two or three agree is touching any one thing, it will be done. And we're missing out on the best that God has to offer, all because we're dealing with our personal will that we think is God's will and is not. Now, got just a few more minutes. Anybody read about King Ahab? King Ahab loved to know what God's will was. He does. Man, every time he done something, he wanted to call the prophet and find out what God's will was. He just wasn't going to do it, though. Go read about King Ahab. I mean, he was always checking on what God's will is, but he ain't going to do it. Anybody do that? I love to go to church on Sunday and hear what God's saying. May or may not do it, though. Can you imagine being married to a bride like that? I wonder how King Ahab impacted his wife, because he knew what the will of God was. He just wasn't going to do it. It impacted his wife to the place that she hated God and all the servants of God and wanted to kill them. In our church world today, there's more arguing, bickering, fussing, division, brother against brother, church against church, ministry against ministry. That ain't the bride of Christ, y'all. That's the spirit that tormented a good man that God loved. He loved Ahab and he loved Jezebel. God loved his boy and his girl. He loved them. But they demonstrated what it looks like when you do it without God. It's in our flesh. It's hostile. It's in your flesh to manipulate for control. It's in your flesh to sell yourself so you can get something back. It's in the flesh to be in charge. Pastor Lowe, this is a heavy message. Yeah, and we had to decide how we got here, and you know our world's messed up. You know that our culture is in the church. And you and I both know, because we got relationships with people, and we might be even ones doing it, sucking our thumb and complaining, bickering and crying over this. And we're having conversations that are not from the kingdom. What God wants his bride and his sons and daughters to be saying is good news all the time. It ain't no bad news. As long as you're talking about bad news, you're on the wrong side. Let me encourage you. 2,000 years ago, something happened, and the kingdom of God was ushered in. We don't have time for bad news. We're carriers of the good news as the bride of Christ. I don't have time to find flaws and faults and issues with the next person or the next church or the next ministry. Why? Because Daddy's in charge. He started something and he can finish it too. So he's working on everybody precisely as the wise one that he is. And if I don't like it, get over it, he says. Well, I think they ought to be living like this. And I think they ought to be doing this. And I think they need to be preaching this. No. No. God's not a God of drama, soap operas. God is a God that knows exactly what he's doing, and he's asking us to walk with him and quit questioning him. Well, I think you need Jesus. No, and I think you need Jesus, son. And the Lord said, no, don't tell him. He's telling me I need him. And the moment I sensed that, Bill, you need Jesus, the Lord said, look back. You got three fingers pointing at you, son. If you attend to the fact that you need me, son, you'll support me becoming who I'm designed in him. Bill will manifest if you'll only let you get total place in my heart. Look, I need Jesus to do something in my life. And me being willing to tell my wife what he's saying, regardless of her understanding or not, is how I please him. I don't need Tammy to obey me. I don't need that. Because I'm interested in a relationship where we're free and we're having fun and we're individuals and we're enjoying being together. We're kids. That's what I need. But Jesus needs her to obey me for some reason. And you know what he told me? He said, it's not obeying your pleasure, son. It's not for you lording or dictating. It's about, I need her to obey what I say through you. Just like I need you, son, when you don't understand what I'm saying, trust me. I need her to hear what I'm saying through you for me. Are y'all tracking? You see why the marriages are all beat up? And the men are scared to say anything they're hearing God say because they don't want trouble in the house. Because every time God speaks, it's trouble. Yeah. When God speaks, the devil's going to get stirred up. And both me and Tammy need more Jesus because we're being transformed too. I hope this is helping somebody. Me and her had to go through 42 years of help, Jesus. On purpose, because that's what he wanted. We don't have nothing figured out. And we listen to all kind of other voices that tell. I'm going to give you a story here. This will help you. Thank you, Marcia, for being. Is Marcia here? Prayer team meets on Saturdays before corporate prayer. And Marcia and Sue came in the room. And the prayer team left me that day. It was perfect. But she said this, and this will help some of us big time. She said this. She said, my late husband was abusive to me. And she said, the Lord told me to obey him. Pause for effect here. When Daddy speaks to me, I need her to obey what he's saying. Because if she'll obey, you know what happens? Her obedience opens the door for God to turn the fire up on me. And I need her to obey him so I can be transformed some more. I need her to be a woman of God. I need her to walk by faith is what I'm saying. That's how simple it is. I need my wife to walk by faith so I can be changed. Because if I miss the mark, and I will because I'm human, God burns it out of me when she's obedient. Can you imagine what will happen to our community if the bride here obeys? Can you imagine the revival that hit the streets if we obey our husband? Oh, you're tracking now. And God needs me to obey him when I don't want to because she's being mean to me. Serve her anyway because you're pleasing me. If I'll do that, him and her get together. And she'll get what she needs because I press, saying, yes, Lord, when it hurts. Is that true or not? Because I know she loves Jesus, and I know he loves her. And I'm trusting him and her getting it together. And she's trusting me and him getting it together. But we're still a boy and a girl. And he don't repent over that. And we're uniquely wired differently. Totally differently. And he loves it. Because it requires him to be the source. If you went into a marriage covenant without Jesus, it ain't working. And Marcia said, Lord told me to obey my husband. And he was mean, abusive. And I'm thinking the Lord spoke to me. His word, the Lord spoke, he spoke this to my spirit, y'all. I know I'm over time, but the Lord's not repenting. The Lord spoke to him. He said, I didn't do anything wrong and I got abused. He said, I let them capture me. And I didn't have a problem with that because my obedience, I was obedient so that you could have life. And we sat there in our American posture and we justify, well, I got the Constitution and I got the Declaration of Independence and I have rights. And Jesus didn't deserve anything he suffered. And he got abused pretty bad, y'all. He got rejected on a level that ain't nobody ever been rejected. And he was perfect. And she's telling me her story, and I'm going like, ding, 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 ding. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. She's been abusing me, and I don't want to love her back. I don't deserve this. And the Lord says, you deserve a lot more than she's doing. Ouch. I'm sucking my thumb over a little bit of pain because I think I have rights. He says, look at the cross again, son, and you'll get over it real fast if you know who cares for you. My sister Marcia is telling me a story, and she says she goes to get counsel from ministry, and the ministry says, you don't have to put up with that. Oh, that word is being given out all the time. Justifying why I deserve to be petted and served and never have to put up with any pushback. Where did we get these lies from? As the serpent beguiled Eve, I fear. And this is what was the cherry on top of the story, she said. I walked in the living room one day, and her late husband was laying on the couch. And this is the way I heard her say it. He said, I see a bright light over your head. And I hear the words, good wife, good wife. And Marcia said to me, she said, all the stuff that I was putting up with didn't matter no more. Because I saw God doing what he was doing. Whatever it is that you're hitting pushback on, if you will get delivered of letting it be a problem, you're about to see the glory of God on the next level. Let's don't join with our culture. Let's don't join with our political atmosphere and buy into all the lies and let it get in the house, the bride, because it corrupts the heart of his church. Through much tribulation shall ye enter in. It's not a suggestion, ladies and gentlemen. If you're going to stand with him, you're going to go through the fire. You're going to go through it to the place you get purged. Anybody want to be purged? You want all the bad stuff out? Stop only being satisfied with feeling God and let God feel you. Stop being okay with just hearing what God's will is. Do it. Deny yourself the privilege of thinking for a moment that you know anything. Because the little bit that you know is nothing compared to what he's trying to give you right now. And we're rejecting it because we're qualifying ourselves when he wants to take us to the next level of being who he says we are. You've been through what you've been through, not for evil, but for good. I don't care what it is you've suffered, whatever track record you've got, whatever stuff you've been going on in your past, all that stuff was not for evil, but for good. Because such a time as this, it's time to let him in his house. Come up higher. He's wooing us right now to be filled with his spirit. Could we stand? Does anybody need Jesus? Does your marriage need Jesus? Does your relationships on the job need a miracle? Jesus is that miracle today. And he loves you. He's passionate about you. And Father, I thank you for your presence as we posture ourselves and clear out all the debris, and we let you be front and center, and we forget about anything else going on in this world. You've given us this safe place to meet where you're the theme. You're the life. You're the hope. Dwayne Lowe didn't start this work. You started this work. Dwayne Lowe hadn't done anything but follow you as you build your house and you pull your kids together and you build your bride. Your name is on the miracle that's about to happen in this community. And you're choosing out those that will come up higher. You're pulling on those that's had enough and they're saying enough is enough. I may not understand what you're saying, but yes, Lord. Here I am, Lord. It's your house. Take over. Anybody ready for him to take over? Right where you're standing, you can be filled. If you really want to put the enemy on the run, start walking up front, stepping on him as you come. Letting him know, I've had enough. I'm going to run to my husband. I'm going to run to the one that loves me. I'm going to run to the one that makes, and I'm talking about people that's been filled with the Spirit, that believe in Jesus. We need to be running to him, shouldn't we? We need Jesus. I've got to be empowered to the place where I say, yes, Lord. Guest, sorry that I went overboard and went long. Thank you for being here. If you need to leave, you can leave, but we're going to hang out a little bit longer and just see what Daddy does with us in changing our hearts. Thank you for being with us today. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Run to Jesus. Run to Jesus. There's a miracle in the making right now. Let's open our hearts to heaven.